new world of college football. So I do want to get back to your guys' thoughts on the whole Gretna thing. We'll take some emails that we got and calls a little bit in a little bit. Plenty of time for that on the show today. Love to hear from you guys. 402-951-1620. Connor at 1620 The Zone on the Equitable Bank inbox. But like I said, obviously headed into a new time in college football with the portal and NIL. Also, creating different and new job titles for analysts is a thing that we're doing now. Brian Munson joins us now on the Connor Happer Show. Brian, how are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. So, Florida has the following spots on their staff, the following job titles on their staff. Director of Recruiting Innovation, Director of Speed Improvement and Skill Development, Director of Player Engagement and NIL, Director of College Personnel, Director of Advanced Scouting and Self-Scout, and my personal favorite, Game Changer Coordinator.
Game Changer Coordinator.
Yeah, which I believe is just a fancy term for special teams analyst. But they're calling it at Florida the Game Changer Coordinator.
That is, it's very interesting to see and hear some of those titles. I'd love to hear a little more about like what the roles are.
Me too.
I think the analyst position is, it's interesting, right? Because you're not really into the coaching side, but you're doing some administrative task that's feeding into directly into the coaching, or you're having some sort of a way of supporting an official visit weekend, or for like this weekend, obviously for Nebraska, it's a big junior day visitor weekend. So you've got some play into kind of the arrangements and the logistics and stuff like that. So I'd love to hear a little bit more like what some of those roles are, those titles.
Yeah, me too. But I guess you can manage your staff however you want to manage it, whatever you think you need. You can get a game changer coordinator if that works for you. You mentioned Junior Day, Brian. Let's get into a little bit of that. It is a pretty big weekend for them. It feels like after a lull last year and now Nebraska adding some real bona fide recruiters to their staff, just to get your thoughts on that, do they have some momentum here or a little bit of juice that, I mean, frankly, I didn't think they'd be able to pick up much steam, but here we are with a couple good recruiters on the staff and it's happened pretty quick, it seems.
Yeah, no, I am with you. I'm a little bit surprised because there was a lull. I mean, you've had a couple of lulls, right? You've had a kind of a end of the season happening, have to wait to kind of go through the hiring process, make a hire, do some recruiting, finish things up, and you kind of go into the end of the year holiday stuff, and then you can kind of get another lull that goes along with that, and you pick up another coach, you lose a coach. But then Nebraska was able to kind of start capitalizing on things fairly quickly. You know, you brought on a guy like Coach Joseph, for example, who I think many of us are a little bit struck by, you know, based on how quickly he's able to kind of capitalize on him just changing locations from Baton Rouge to Lincoln and the kind of energy he's bringing with him. And they have been spending a lot of time down in the boot, making the offers. I think when you bring a guy on like Applewhite from TCU, there has been, I don't want to say an influx, but there's been some numbers to some guys. There's been some offers to some guys in Texas finally.
Yep.
You know, Duncanville and Denton Geyer, they are two incredible mainstays of high school football in the Dallas area. Duncanville, when my son was playing in 2020, that actually was a 2019 game that fall, they had 20 plus D1 players on that team, not all class 2020 guys, but they had guys that were 2021 and beyond. They had 20 plus guys that were going D1. So you've got to be involved in recruiting high schools like that. But Denton Geyer, obviously we have some ties to Denton Geyer too, because my son's old high school football coach went from Rockwall to Denton Geyer. So we know about that. We know all about that quarterback. He's incredibly talented. But, you know, then Nebraska's kind of out there doing their thing basically from Texas all the way over to Florida with the offers. I mean, I think I want to say they probably made between 30 and 50 offers this week. And they're really doing a great job going back after the guys, re-offering them as coaches to where they probably had an offer before where they were at previously in the other school, and now they're getting an offer and they're starting to rebuild this relationship with this coach at this new spot. So I think that there is some juice right now. I think that you go into this official, this visitor weekend, well, there is an official visitor as well this weekend, but you have 23 or so unofficial visitors with the junior day weekend. The majority of those guys are 2023 guys. There's a couple of 2024 guys. You've got like 9 offer guys that already have offers from Nebraska, 6 guys that have pretty nice offers from around the country that you could see them picking up an offer. And then you have like this group of guys that are in-state or area guys, now I kind of referred to them in my visitor preview last night, that I would say, you know, this might be the first time for many of those guys to get in front of the Nebraska staff, just because of, I think, the way things finished up last year. There's some really new names. I had to create a couple of those profiles last night. So I think that this could be a really good weekend for Nebraska.
Brian, I want to go through a couple of those things, but Texas first. And this is something that has been brought up quite a bit, and it's brought up like parallel with the, you know, this is why Nebraska, you know, is the way it is thing, and leaving the Big 12 and not having a stronghold in Texas anymore. In fact, it was even brought up surprisingly on a couple of TV Nebraska football TV broadcasts this past year, and it's passed along seemingly from the coaches when they meet in those production meetings prior. I mean, does it seem like a conscious effort for Nebraska to, you know, with the coaches they hired and what they're doing right now, to get back into Texas?
Without a doubt. And that was one of the things I had been talking about with the hiring process, is that obviously you have function with the team in terms of the coach, the positions, the responsibilities that you're going to have. You have whatever the title is, it's going to be, whether you're wide receivers, offensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, et cetera. There was another need, and the other need was to start to look at the recruiting background. You have to look and see where these guys have typically operated before in terms of, you know, which high schools they are, what areas they have been recruiting before in the past. Applewhite addresses Texas, and maybe more to the point, let's just say Dallas, right? Because I think technically, you know, it's kind of a loose thing when you start talking about the radius of Lincoln, but Dallas is just across the Red River. I don't think people really understand. I mean, when Texas plays OU, OU is closer to Dallas than Texas is, than Austin is to Dallas.
Right. So, North Texas is a little bit different.
It is. It's a little bit more melting pot, not so much, you know, deep in the heart of Texas. It's got some different flavors here. So, and it's really also, I think the cool thing about Dallas is it's not like tied to one of those major schools. Baylor's in Waco, Texas is in Austin, A&M's in College Station, Texas Tech's in Lubbock, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You don't have, I mean, you got SMU and you got TCU and you got North Texas, but you don't really have like that one big school. Now, maybe TCU's got some mojo going on too because of the coaching change over there, but there's really never been somebody that could come in here and just grab everybody out of Dallas. They tend to go wherever they want to go. So I think Dallas has a lot of similarities to, say, for example, like a Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't have that Division I program either. So there's kind of a way to go in there and be effective, you know, without necessarily being a school that's from there, because you just have to get to be disciplined, and you've got to go in there and kind of just show out and stick to your guns and go in and turn over the stones. But I think getting back to the original question, Texas was a big one. Louisiana was a huge one, but I think Sunbelt in general, basically kind of across from Texas to Florida, that the numbers and the skill sets, I think, you know, are important here when it comes to what Nebraska is trying to accomplish. And I think obviously Nebraska has a need to kind of be a little more effective in the neighboring states. You saw that Bill Bush was in Kansas City. You saw that Bill Bush was in Kansas. I think that we're going to start seeing a little bit better of a dedication from the staff also to kind of just be in the neighboring states, be a little bit more effective in that really true 500-mile radius. And then I think they'll also continue to want to still to cherry pick, you know, the Big Ten footprint where they will always be relevant just based on the conference schedule that they play.
Well, it's just, you know, it sounds simple, but I think sometimes maybe, you know, you just get lost here. And especially this past year where recruiting was a little bit different and Nebraska was really solely focused on trying to win football games in 2021, you know, to little avail, I suppose. But, you know, they had other stuff on their plate, but it's just about being there. You know, it's just about showing your face in the school, showing the logo in the school. And that goes for Texas. That goes for Lincoln. You know, that goes for Omaha. And ultimately, it's just about the effort that you put into it, right?
There's no doubt about it. I think that Nebraska doesn't understand that despite the fact that they left the Big 12 years ago, the Big Red Inn, if it walked into a high school tomorrow, they would know who they were. Yeah, look, if people are scared in Lincoln that for some reason when a Big Red Inn walks in that people think it's Nichols State versus Nebraska, they're going to be very, very wrong there. I mean, they're all the Big Ten schools, the good ones anyway, Minnesota's down here, Iowa's down here, Ohio State clearly is down here, Penn State, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those schools recruit Texas. They don't need to get 10 guys out of the state of Texas. They just need to be able to cherry pick and find their one or two. And really, if Nebraska was at least kind of subscribing to that, you know, theory and that kind of practice, I think that you would start to see a roster kind of take off with having a lot more Texas players on it than obviously, and like what you mentioned before in the broadcast about how few players were on the roster from Texas. So I think that what you need to do is you just need to be, you need to have a little bit more discipline. You need to show up, you need to get in there and get in the doors. And I think Applewhite does a huge thing in terms of credibility. I think he brings some effectiveness to kind of show up and say, oh, obviously I remember you from TCU. I see you're with Nebraska now. Tell me about Nebraska and let me show you the guys I got. That's the kind of meetings that Nebraska should expect come the evaluation period when Applewhite can get on the road and go into these high schools.
Yeah. Brian Munson of Husker Online is with us. How, if at all, has Nebraska's recruiting approach, not so much pitch, but approach, changed locally? You know, you've missed out on some guys over the last couple cycles here, and now you look at the junior day this weekend, they're bringing in people and seem to have their hooks in here. What's changed?
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting thing to see. Well, obviously, you know, Coach Joseph was able to get out right away and go see Malachi Coleman and Davon Hall and Benny Nagoe. Those were three guys that were very high on Nebraska's list. I mean, it's clear that Nebraska has to do something. They lost kind of those big four out of Omaha this last year, and they don't want to have that happen again. They want to be able to take everybody from in-state that they want. They want to limit their losses. So you've got to be a little more effective with the people that are there in the state and how do you approach those guys. So Nebraska has made it very clear to those three guys, at least, and Gunnar Gatula is coming in this weekend. Yep. Obviously, he's a commitment to the Nebraska class, but he's also got a coaching change at his position. So this is the first time he gets a chance to meet Coach Raiola. So I think Nebraska's doing the right things here. They've reached out to Maverick Noonan. Maverick Noonan couldn't get in for the weekend. Ben Bramer couldn't get in there. But what they're doing is they're trying to find a way to get him in there to meet the new staff. And guys like Davon Hall and Malachi Coleman and Benny Nagoe, they've all heard from their potential position coach already. And they know kind of what he's thinking about anyway, based on some conversations that happened after he kind of showed up and checked in on them. And then, you know, Malachi and Benny will be there this weekend. Davon Hall's not coming in this weekend. I assume he's going to be there next weekend. But I think that you're going to see basically an importance that's going to be emphasized for those guys when it comes to, look, you know, we recruit nationally, but we try to keep all the guys home that we need to keep home to be successful. And I think that that will be the message that those guys start to hear.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to hear that they are the lifeblood of that program, and that for them to really get back to being on top, they have to make sure that they have strong roots in the state and that they're getting those players from in-state, because there's really a pride factor that goes along with that, that goes all the way back to those teams in the 90s and how homegrown those teams really were.
Well, Brian, it's interesting because every coach that's recruited the area, or every coach that's kind of, you know, stood up in front and said, look, we're gonna try and get all the best players from the state of Nebraska. We have to do that every year. Like, every coach anywhere would say that. But I think it makes a difference now, because it comes from a different person. And maybe it's not even dependent on who it is, but there's this kind of, right now, I think Nebraska's attempting to capitalize off this. There's this kind of fresh air about it. I mean, you don't get the opportunity to do that, especially going into the fifth season where you're coming off of, you know, four straight losing seasons.
I think you're absolutely correct. There's always a shiny new toy element that kind of comes along with changes in the coaching staff and how that kind of breathes that fresh air, like you're kind of mentioning, and how they're going to kind of bedazzle, you know, for lack of a better word,
their
recruiting process and how they're going to approach these guys. I mean, those guys that are there in Nebraska know firsthand the struggles that Nebraska has had over the past, you know, 3 to 4 seasons. So they've got to see that there is some new energy, and they're getting a chance to see that new energy up close, because they're going to get a chance to meet a guy like Joseph, a guy like Applewhite, a guy like Whipple, and a guy like Riola that are coming in there to kind of get that offense going. And I think that that's so critical because of basically all the guys that Nebraska's kind of offered in this class, unless McGoey becomes a defensive back recruit, like I mentioned in Tunnel Talk this morning. All those guys are offensive guys. So it's incredibly important to kind of show them, you know, how Nebraska is addressing basically that side of the football, and to kind of feel better about things moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Brian Munson of Husker Online. All right, Brian, well, that's a quick 15 minutes there. We'll let you go. Appreciate you checking in. Good stuff. Previewing Nebraska's Junior Day and other recruiting musings today. You can check that out on HuskerOnline.com. Brian, appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, man. Have a good weekend.
That is Brian Munson of HuskerOnline.com. As always, very good stuff from him. It is important. And, you know, the fresh air thing is maybe something I want to talk about a little bit more, just because, like I said, you don't get the opportunity to do that, especially in the, I mean, this situation is so rare for Nebraska, but they've somehow found a way to kind of, and you know, there's still doubters, obviously. I mean, I would consider myself very skeptical on if it's going to work, but you don't get a chance very often to capitalize off of fresh air in your program. You have to take advantage of every little thing that you could sell at any particular moment. So if Nebraska could sell winning, beating its rivals, and blah, blah, you know, all that stuff that we want them to be able to do, then that'd be great. You know, they should do that. But they don't have that right now. So you have to take advantage of what you have. And what Nebraska has is some coaching staff changes that, and those guys are familiar with the area. They've gotten out. They understand it, but it's not even that. They put the effort into it. They're showing their face at the high schools, and that's everywhere. That's in Texas. That's in Louisiana. That's in, that's in Omaha. That's in Lincoln, right? So building relationships, that stuff, it takes time. It takes time. You're not going to just walk in and get the top players in the state without, you know, showing your face at the school. And not that they were just, you know, not putting effort into it before, but the fresh face and the fresh voice, I think, makes a pretty big difference. All right, Brian Christopherson, we'll piggyback off of that a little bit, and then get to some more, maybe some X's and, well, not X's and O's, we're not going to like break down film on the show, but we'll talk football with Brian Christopherson of 24/7 Sports here in just a couple minutes. We'll do that next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. FanDuel Sportsbook, baby. Oh, it is NFL Divisional Weekend, and we cannot wait. The NFL playoffs are in full gear, and everyone can get on the action with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you already have an account, all customers are getting $10 back on your same game if your same game parlay does not win. Same game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. You could take bets on the money line, the point spread. You could take player stats, so much more. One thing I hate is betting. I don't love betting the unders, but let's look at the circumstances here in at Lambeau Field on Saturday evening. It's chilly. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't thrown a pass in under 40-degree weather in his life. Just take a look and maybe search out some numbers there and see what you like on the unders. Same game, parlay them together, and boom, you get yourself a big payout. Love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Man, you can. There are so many things that you can do, including, you know, you just go right on the front page. They give you some great options to bet, suggestions that other people have done. They want to make it easy for you to win. If you already have an account, just place your risk-free same-game parlay on any NFL divisional round game to qualify. New customers, join today with promo code HAPPER, H-A-P-P-E-R, to get your risk-free bet. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in the divisional round to win after using promo code HAPPER, H-A-P-P-E-R. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. That is promo code HAPPER on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Josh, I'm going to scroll down a little bit. 21-plus present in Iowa. There it is. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10. Restrictions apply. See new terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.